Did your angel fall? Leave you all alone in that place? Did your hero fail? Leave hope without a sail?
This is Justice Week on Covenant Eyes Radio. All this week, we will be featuring podcasts and articles on our blog that highlight the connection between pornography and sex trafficking. Starting our week off, we're speaking with Noel Boucher. Noel is the vice president of Pure Hope, where he oversees the development of educational materials, awareness programs, and strategic partnerships to pursue justice for victims of sex trafficking and other forms of commercial sexual exploitation. He also oversees their Pure Justice internship program. Today, Noel will talk about why they created this internship.
A true pursuit of justice necessarily starts with a pursuit of personal purity. We were founded as the National Coalition Against Pornography with a focus on posing pornography, what it is, what it does to families and communities, and things that flow out of it, the various forms of sexual exploitation that it fosters. Really, in the late 90s, people started to realize that there's this huge global issue of what is essentially modern-day slavery, people being trafficked into commercial sex. And over the past decade, it's become clear to people across the country that this is an issue in almost every community.
Well, Noel, tell me a little bit about why you guys decided to create the Pure Justice internship. What were the things that you learned that really led to you to see that that kind of an internship was going to be really important to create?
It was really a process that, if I kind of lay it all out, it really starts when our organization was founded back in 1983, because we were founded as the National Coalition Against Pornography, and really with a focus on posing pornography, what it is, what it does to families and communities, and things that flow out of it, the various forms of sexual exploitation that it fosters. And over the years, this is long before I personally came to the organization, over the years, it became clear what those things were that pornography produced in individuals and in communities. And I think in the 90s and late 90s and then early 2000s was when the issue of human trafficking really started to come on people's radar screens. I mean, there are people who picked up on this, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, but really in the late 90s, people started to realize that there's this huge global issue of what is essentially modern-day slavery, people being trafficked into either commercial sex or forms of servitude in sweatshops and other types of things. And so probably about 2001, 2002, our staff really started to seize upon this issue of sex trafficking in the U.S., and especially what was going on in Atlanta, which right now is still one of the leading in the world for sex tourism, people flying into Atlanta and flying out simply for the purpose of buying sex with women or children. And so we started a work down there, and over the past decade, it's become clear to people across the country that this is an issue in almost every community. For us, based in Cincinnati, it was interesting that earlier 2010, the Ohio Attorney General came out with a report, and Toledo, Ohio is fourth in the country for sex trafficking of minors. And so, you know, with our historical perspective on pornography and the forms of exploitation that flow out of it, and then seeing what was happening with this increased levels of forced prostitution and prostitution of minors across the country, you know, we couldn't help but sit down and say, hey, what's going on here, and begin connecting the dots, which we're not the only ones who are doing this, but it certainly became evident to us. We pretty quickly said, hey, we got to figure this out. We got to figure out, number one, what's really going on and start doing research, to start connecting with people, other people who are doing the research and who are really on the front lines in terms of working with people who are being victimized, people who are prosecuting the perpetrators. And so we very quickly said we need to really focus a large segment of our work on this, and that became the Pure Justice Initiative, which it really articulates our conviction that a true pursuit of justice necessarily starts with a pursuit of personal purity and integrity And as scriptures say, righteousness. Psalm 89, one of our many favorite verses, which says that God's throne is founded on righteousness and justice. And you see that throughout the scriptures. You see this correlation of righteousness and justice together, especially in the prophets, but throughout the Bible. And so that really started to resonate with us, that, hey, we need to focus on the heart issue here, because that's how culture is shaped, ultimately, either a just culture or an unjust culture. It starts with an individual who forms a part of a community and plays a part in shaping that community. And so we really wanted to tie those things together, along with the first and foremost issue of tying pornography to sex trafficking. We wanted to connect the issue of the pursuit of a pure heart, pursuit of righteousness, with that pursuit of justice, specifically with respect to the people who are being victimized in our communities and in the nation by the commercial sex industry. So that was kind of the genesis. And then very quickly, we wanted to seize upon both the momentum among college-aged young people who are very passionate about seeking justice, who look at the world around them and they want to make a difference and they see injustice and they want to play a part in correcting those injustices. And also the fact that, of course, they are the leaders of the future. And so we said we need to create a structure where we can really bring people in, train them, educate them, play a role in their spiritual development as well as their professional development. And that led to the formation of the Peer Justice Internship, which we just finished the second program, the second summer internship program, and it's just been a real blessing for us.
So you've had two summers now where you've done the internship, and how many interns did you have each time?
We had three in 2009, and we had four this summer, so hopefully we can continue to see that increase over the years, and we're praying that that's so. We really structured the internship around two main goals. The first goal is to educate the Christian community on the issue of sex trafficking, number one, the connection to between pornography and sex trafficking, number two, and then God's call to justice to us, to do justice and to walk in it. That's the first one. The second main goal is to develop these young interns as leaders and as individuals who are going to go out and change their world and lead many others, as it says in Scripture, to righteousness. And so those are the two main goals. The way we do that is really by structuring the summer so that they are getting a really kind of fully orbed experience. We want to get them in front of people who are on the front lines. We want to get them in front of people who are leaders in these fields, the anti-trafficking movement. We want to get them connected with leaders in the church, academic and professional leaders in the community and across the country. So we do that through setting up lunches, through setting up interviews, through setting up phone conferences with people. So they're just getting, you know, they're being fed by the people who are out there doing the work that God is calling these young people to do in the future. And then we also want to get them out and involved in the real work of raising awareness about this issue. So getting them in front of church groups, youth groups, various meet and greets and luncheons, various conferences that we take them to. So it gives them an opportunity to really get out there and spread the message of the Peer Justice Initiative and our work in Peer Justice, and then also connect with people who can really begin to form a network for them professionally and spiritually as they go forward. So kind of basing our work on those two main goals has been very productive for us. It's given us a real good structure for creating a program that we think really does do what we want it to do, which is give them a short, you know, 8 to 10 week experience where they can come in, be equipped, be educated, be edified, be connected with their own peers in a new way as they pursue God's calling in this area, and then go back on their campuses and have an expanded professional and spiritual network, and also be equipped to really lead change on their campus. And that goes to our desire to set up peer justice chapters on campuses across the country, which our interns are now doing as we speak.
That's wonderful. And I look forward this week. We have this whole thing on our blog where we'll be hearing from the interns and reading about some of their experiences, reading about the things they learned and those sort of things. And I'm really looking forward to releasing those blog posts this week. Let's switch gears here a little bit, because you said that you used to be called, back in the 80s, the National Coalition Against Pornography. You were called the National Coalition for the Protection of Children and Families, and now you are called what?
Now we are called Pure Hope.
Okay, explain that. Why the name change?
Well, a number of reasons. I mean, number one, Pure Hope is a lot easier to say than the National Coalition for Protection of Children and Families.
That's so true,
You know, we discovered that there's a bit of a branding issue just as things stood. But the other thing is it really does communicate the way this organization has evolved. And when I came on board, that was one of the things that really appealed to me. You know, when it started in the 80s, there was a real focus on ending pornography, eradicating it. And that was not a pipe dream then. That was a reality because, of course, in the early 80s, you didn't yet have the advent of the Internet. So you had much fewer channels of distribution for pornographic content. Secondly, you had a Department of Justice in the 80s that was really focused on the issue of pornography and cracking down on the producers of pornography under the existing obscenity laws. And so there was a real push that was led by our organization played a large part in that. Reverend Jerry Kirk, our founder, played a large part in that, in actually pushing to end pornography and eradicate it fully. That changed in the 90s for a number of reasons. The law enforcement perspective changed. The DOJ limited its prosecutions of porn producers under the obscenity laws. And number two, of course, the Internet just created this explosion of porn in the 90s. And so there was a refocus on this organization's part to really win hearts and minds. It went less from kind of in the legal action realm to more of equipping the church, who was, you know, even in the mid-90s, just becoming bombarded by this tsunami of porn and sexualized content that was really hammering individuals and families. And so there was a focus on protecting children, protecting families from this onslaught, and thus the name change in the mid-90s. We're now at a point where, along with society, which continues to change and evolve, our organization does as well. I mean, since our name changed in the 90s, of course, now you've had the advent of mobile technology and social media and the way that's changing everything. You've also had a change in the church, which, you know, you guys at Covenant Eyes are a huge part of, really changing the dialogue about pornography, opening up that discussion in a way that is healthy so that the church can really deal with this, can get real and authentic and speak about not just pornography and what it is, but what it's doing to people and our vulnerabilities as sexual beings and the problems and the wounds that we have and bear, and really creating frameworks in which we can have communities that are based in grace and forgiveness and bring healing. So that focus for us has increased, and that led to the name change. And really, the name Pure Hope is really, it's a beautiful thing because it not only communicates really effectively what we do, what we want to do, what we endeavor to do, but it also really lays out our history in a unique way. Pure Hope, first of all, is an acronym. PURE is an acronym, pray, understand, resolve, and engage. And that has meaning for us on a number of levels. One, those really represent our core values. That's how we operate. We believe prayer, understanding, resolve, and engagement are the key to living a pure lifestyle, to having that pure heart that Scripture talks about. Second thing is that's what we're calling people to do. Because that's what we believe, we call them to engage in their own lives and partner with us in pursuing that purity through prayer, through understanding, through the acquiring of knowledge, to discern and to act, and then to resolve with this, you know, fixity of purpose in terms of the repentance and the commitment that the Lord's called us to, and then engage in love in word and deed with each other. We believe that's what the message we want to bring to people. That model also represents our history in a very unique way. The organization was founded in 1983, but it started as a prayer movement in one church, in College Hill Presbyterian Church, in the early 80s. And that prayer movement about the issue of pornography and what it was doing to the community led to the establishment of a conference to educate people on pornography, which led then to an ongoing concern, an organization to really take the lead and be on the front lines, and then to engage in an ongoing basis. So that pray, understand, resolve, engage cycle that we talk about kind of encapsulates our history as well. And then the hope that flows from that is the key. I mean, we have, as you guys at Covenant Eyes do, you deal with people all the time who are broken. You know, we are all wounded. We all are sexual sinners, and we all have been hurt by others in one way or another to varying degrees in the sexual realm of life, because that's, you know, really where our adversary wants to attack. I mean, you're attacking that very place where we bear the image of God as, you know, male and female. And so when we carry these wounds, when we're hurt, when we're broken, sexual brokenness just leads to this immense despair and despondency and a hopelessness. And so when we're talking about sexual restoration, when we're talking about people being brought out of sexual exploitation and being restored, people being brought out of the porn industry or out of sex trafficking, or people being healed from sexual addiction, or families being reunited after sexual fallout, you're talking about hope being generated. And of course, we know we serve a God of hope, according to the Book of Romans. And faith, hope, and love should be our focus. So that's kind of the background to our name, and we're really excited about what it communicates and how it's going to really kind of lead us into the future.
All right, and our listeners can go to purehope.net and learn all about the new things that they're up to. You've been listening to Covenant Eyes Radio. For more information about Pure Hope, visit their website at purehope.net. To hear more of our podcasts, look for Covenant Eyes Radio on iTunes or visit the Covenant Eyes blog, Breaking Free, at covenanteyes.com/blog.
It's not my fault.